Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
ROTC adds high in-flight simulator to arsenal. Midland ISD's Air Force Junior ROTC program has purchased a state-of-the-art flight simulator after winning a $10,000 grant from the Midland Education Foundation. This simulator will be used as part of aerospace science STEM courses currently offered to more than 120 JROTC students across four MISD high school campuses. Flight simulators are a critical component, not only for students hoping to one day become pilots, but for a variety of aviation-themed activities. The simulators provide a hands-on experience that expands opportunities in military, civilian, and aviation careers. These flight simulators engage our cadets by increasing their knowledge of basic aerodynamics and navigation, said Chief Master Sergeant Jeff Deinzer, who teaches aerospace science. The availability of this type of equipment puts our students on a direct path to pursue an education or career in aviation. The new simulation stations are set up in the JROTC's remodeled STEM lab and allow cadets to fly, plan, and navigate a variety of simulated aircraft. Additionally, JROTC cadets can fly on the simulator in preparation for the Air Force JROTC Flight Scholarship Program, which affords high school students the opportunity to begin the process of becoming a pilot. Having access to the simulator gives MISD cadets an increased chance to earn the $20,000 scholarship. Flight simulators create a unique flying experience for the cadets, allowing them to control virtual aircraft. CM Sergeant Diner said using the simulator will help them improve their scores on the aviation qualifying test, which is a requirement for the JROTC Flight Scholarship. The Midland Education Foundation's Grant for Great Ideas program, made possible by support from Enterprise Products, Diamondback Energy, Chevron, XTO, and ConocoPhillips, provides funds for innovative educational programs that cannot be funded by the district budget. Early Bird Tree Sale. Ms. Casey's Wonderland has scheduled an early bird tree sale to benefit Opportunity Tribe Thursday, September 21st to Sunday, October 1st at the store at 1012 Andrews Highway in Midland. Customers may donate to Opportunity Tribe, a nonprofit organization that helps children learn and succeed with mentorship and teamwork at the event. Ms. Casey's will also donate two fully decorated Christmas trees to Opportunity Tribe. MC to celebrate renovation of conference hall. Midland College, MC, and the community will celebrate the renovation of the Jack E. Brown Conference Hall with an official building dedication and ribbon cutting at 10:30 a.m. September 21st. The building is located on the MC main campus near the Siesta and Garfield Street entrance. In August 2020, Midland College closed the Jack E. Brown Dining Hall after moving its on-campus dining facilities to the June and Frank Cowden Jr. Dining Hall. When college officials decided to repurpose the building, which proudly bears the name of one of Midland's oil and gas pioneers, it seemed fitting to have the building serve as the college's hub for its energy industry professional development activities. The newly renovated 10,000-square-foot Jack E. Brown Conference Hall includes offices and classrooms for MC's Petroleum Professional Development Center, formerly located in downtown Midland, and MC's Workforce Continuing Education Department. It is also the new home of Midland College Continuing Education Division Administrative Offices. Education and training space in the building includes five classrooms and one computer lab. Recognizing the need to serve students and the West Texas community in the best ways possible, Midland College is continually looking to improve and enhance classroom and training environments to not only provide state-of-the-art equipment and technology, but also incorporate cost savings and other efficiencies into the college's operations. We are excited about the move, Aaron Van Erva Welch, director of the Midland College Petroleum Professional Development Center, said in a news release. We will be able to provide training and updated classrooms with easier access to accommodations, and the move will also give us more opportunities to partner with credit programs like energy technology and engineering. The MZ Workforce Continuing Education Department also uses the building for office and classroom space. Through hands-on training, staff at MC's Workforce Continuing Education Department coordinates classes and programs that equip students with certifications and licenses that they can use to qualify for jobs in West Texas and provide a skilled workforce for local business and industry. Recently, there has been a demand increasing for upskilling and reskilling Permian Basin residents and providing them with opportunity to get credentials. We have a lot of students who are wanting to change direction in their current career field or get advanced skills so that they can be promoted, Chelsea Gann, MC Director of Workforce Continuing Education, said. We provide short, quick, quality training to get them to the next level or into another direction. Today's workers need to have industry-based credentials so they have evidence to prove to current and potential employers that they have the skills needed to do the job. Victoria Santiago, Dean of Midland College's Continuing Education Division, explained that while the Jack E. Brown Conference Hall provides classroom and computer training for energy industry professionals and lecture-based continuing education courses, other skills-based industry certification courses administered by Santiago and her team occur at the MC Advanced Technology Center, the Cogdale Learning Center, and the main campus as space permits. The Continuing Education Division also oversees customized training for regional business and industry. Customized training is often conducted at the business location or a specialized training center. The renovation of the Jackie Brown Conference Hall will enable us to better centralize Midland College's training efforts. Dr. Damon Kennedy, Midland College president, said, by moving successful programs like our Petroleum Professional Development Center to the main campus, we can optimize educational space and our continuing education division can better collaborate with our traditional college programs. Education is the vehicle to evolution of our community, and the Jackie Brown Conference Hall is one of many steps we will be taking during the next few years that will allow us to continue to be an integral part of what makes Midland's economy strong and quality of life great. Facing indecency charge, a 10-year-old Odessa girl who reported being raped and sodomized in June reported being molested by another man, and that man is now facing charges too. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, the girl's mother came into the sheriff's office on June 2nd and told authorities her daughter had been violated by Manassas Abrego Castillo, 42. The girl told a forensic interviewer at Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center that Castillo raped and sodomized her. The report stated, she also underwent a sexual assault nurse examination. Castillo was arrested on suspicion of aggravated sexual assault of a child. He remains in the Ector County Jail on a $100,000 surety bond and an immigration and customs enforcement hold. According to court documents released Monday, during the same forensic interview, the girl also said Renee Ramirez Vasquez, 36, touched her inappropriately 3 years prior. On September 13, Vazquez admitted to the acts and he was arrested on suspicion of indecency with a child sexual contact. He remained in the Ector County Jail Monday on a $75,000 surety bond and an ICE hold. College Night slated. Ector County ISD will host its annual College Night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. September 20th near the UTPB gym under the Mesa deck. There will be representatives from more than 50 colleges, universities, and military recruiters attending. Students must register using the QR code in the flyer, and students may contact their school counselor for more information. Law enforcement to hold active shooter drill at Coliseum. Several local law enforcement agencies will participate in an active shooter drill from approximately 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday, September 19th at Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. It will be closed to non-participants, and they ask that the public stay clear of the exercise area until the exercise concludes. The drills are required at certain intervals as a part of emergency management preparedness. The Odessa Police Department would like to thank the Ector County Coliseum and many volunteers that made the drill possible, a press release said. PSP launches Get Out the Vote campaign. In response to declining participation in general elections across the Permian Basin over the past 4 years, the Permian Strategic Partnership, PSP, announced Monday the launch of its 2023 Get Out the Vote campaign. This effort seeks to register new voters across the entire region and encourage participation in the upcoming election on November 7th. The campaign will target both English and Spanish speakers in counties across West Texas and southeastern New Mexico. This campaign is rooted in empowerment. We want residents across the Permian Basin to know the impact their vote has on shaping the future of their region, Tracy Bentley, president and CEO of the PSP, said in a news release. The average age of a resident in our community is 32 years old. Encouraging voter turnout helps ensure that each individual's voice helps to shape policies that reflect their concerns and long-term vision for our region. The campaign takes a multi-channel approach, including various forms of advertising, direct mail, mailers, and in-person voter registration events. Inclusion is pivotal for our Hispanic community, and the Permian Strategic Partnership's bilingual outreach efforts are a positive step toward making everyone feel part of the political process and community, said Adrian Carrasco, chairman of the board of the Midland Chamber of Commerce, the Midland Hispanic Chamber. This campaign recognizes the importance of engaging Spanish-speaking voters and underscores the power of their voices in shaping our region's future. Alleged clock thief facing burglary charge. An Odessa man told authorities he came home from work Saturday night to find a strange woman in his house, and she's now facing a burglary charge. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the 66-year-old North Tom Green resident told officers that when he got home around 5 p.m., he noticed a bag of his tools was missing. When he began walking through his house, he found a pile of clothes in his bedroom that hadn't been there earlier, and a woman later identified as Amber Nicole Aiken, 37, hiding, the report stated. He checked a bag she was carrying, and he discovered one of his clocks inside, the report stated. She told him she was only going to take the clock, and as he called 911, she ran off. Aiken was found, and the man identified her as the burglar as she sat in the back of a patrol car, the report stated. Aiken was arrested on suspicion of burglary of a habitation, a second-degree felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. She remains in the Ector County Jail Monday night on a $40,000 surety bond. Woman facing felony assault charge. A 22-year-old Odessa woman is facing an aggravated assault with a deadly weapon charge after witnesses accused her of pointing a rifle at an older woman and surveillance video supported their story. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a call about someone with a gun in the 3700 block of Andrews Highway around 3:30 p.m. Saturday. When they arrived, witnesses said Tiona Holbert had pointed the gun at a 46-year-old woman. The report stated Holbert was seen on the video retrieving the rifle from a Ford Mustang in the parking lot and pointing it at the older woman. It also showed her assaulting the woman, the report stated. Holbert was released from the Ector County Jail Monday after posting a $25,000 surety bond. Woman accused of threatening to kill husband. An Odessa woman was arrested Saturday morning after her husband accused her of threatening to kill him with a knife. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a 41-year-old resident of the 7,000 block of Fasken Road told police he and Deyanira Alvarez, 38, began arguing about a past friend, and she threw a flower pot at him before grabbing a knife and pointing it at him. The man said Alvarez threatened to kill him, so he grabbed her wrist and took the knife away from her before leaving, the report stated. Alvarez told police she felt threatened by her husband. According to the report, she admitted she grabbed the knife, but she said she only held it against his body. Police saw fresh scrapes on the husband's back, the broken flower pot, and dirt all over the floor, the report stated. Although her husband said he didn't want to press charges, Alvarez was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Alvarez remained in the Ector County Jail Monday night on a $50,000 surety bond.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram, Health and Wellness, for Wednesday, September 13th, 2023. Midland Health article, Suicide Prevention. Help prevent suicide in our community. In recent years, suicide mortality rates for people 15 to 44, 60 to 64, and 80 to 84 years old experienced an increase in Texas. Still, suicide is a public health crisis that affects individuals of all ages, races, sex, and social status. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention has reported a death by suicide in Texas approximately every 2 hours. It is important to be aware of possible warning signs that may be present in those experiencing suicidal thoughts, as it is vital to prevention and early intervention. The risk of suicide is higher when these signs have recently begun or increased. Some warning signs in youth may be making plans or talking about suicide, displaying immense distress or emotional pain, expressions of hopelessness, and worrisome behavioral changes, including notable changes in sleep habits, mood changes that seem out of character, and changes in or withdrawal from social interactions. Adults may be making plans or talking about suicide, behaving recklessly, increasing drug or alcohol use, extreme mood changes, talking about unbearable pain, feeling trapped, being a burden to others, having no reason to live, or feeling hopeless. You can help to break the stigma surrounding mental health and suicidality by educating yourself and others on the myths the Texas Health and Human Service Commission recognizes about suicide. Myth 1. Asking someone if they are suicidal will cause them to become suicidal if they were not already. Reality. This can produce a sense of relief, share the burden, and open the door to healing. Myth 2. Someone who attempts suicide but lives is attention-seeking. Reality. Every suicide attempt should be taken seriously, and the person deserves to get the appropriate help needed. Myth 3. Suicide happens without warning. Reality. For some, the signs may be more subtle. However, there are warning signs to watch for. Myth 4. The only people who attempt suicide are those with mental health conditions. Reality. While mental health conditions can put some at higher risk of suicide, not all individuals with mental illness will attempt suicide. Other opportunities to learn more about mental health and suicide prevention are offered low cost or even free in our community. Mental Health First Aid and Youth Mental Health First Aid are offered frequently through Permian Care. These courses teach the basics in recognizing signs and symptoms of mental health issues and how to respond. Trainings such as Mental Health Munchies are provided monthly via Zoom through Texas Tech Psychiatry. The local chapter for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention offers volunteer opportunities and educational events. Knowledge is power and the key to preventing and intervening early in a crisis. Helping kids adjust to school. Dear Mayo Clinic, my family is gearing up for the new school year, and I'm a bit worried about how my kids will adjust to being back in the classroom after the summer break. They seem excited yet nervous, and I want to ensure they adjust smoothly. Can I use any strategies or tips to ease their anxieties and make this adjustment period as positive as possible, especially for the youngest entering kindergarten? Answer. Back-to-school season can be an exciting time for students and parents. It's an educational milestone and another step closer to graduation, college, or joining the workforce. It's also a time for new beginnings, making new friends, reconnecting with old friends, meeting different teachers, and picking up school supplies. As you have experienced, going back to school can cause a lot of stress and anxiety. Most people get nervous when they face changes. Kids may worry about attending a new school, adjusting to a new grade, being accepted by classmates and teachers, getting good grades, or leaving the safety and familiarity of home. While these emotions are common, there are things that parents and guardians can do to help their students adjust to the new school year. Try these tips to get started. Visit the school, particularly for our youngest who may be attending a new school. Schedule a school campus visit if possible. Many schools will offer new students and their parents an opportunity to meet teachers before school starts and to see the new school. This also can be helpful for older students. Locating their classrooms, lockers, restrooms, and other areas around the school on such a visit can help ease many first-day fears. Talk about their worries. You can help by reassuring your children that anxious feelings are common and encouraging them to talk about what causes them. When kids think about or practice doing the things that make them anxious, they can learn to cope better with their feelings. Review homework expectations. Identify a location in your home where children will do homework each day. This could be desks in their rooms, at the kitchen table, or in another location. Talk about when they should start their homework. Some families encourage students to start right after they get home, while others allow a break. Review your expectations for grades and how the family will address academic challenges. Setting expectations before school starts will help you and your students. Develop a good sleep routine. On average, children ages 6 through 13 require 9 to 11 hours of sleep each night. Children who are 13 to 17 should get 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night. Develop consistent sleep routines so your students can mentally and emotionally prepare for bedtime. For example, put all electronics away 1 hour before bedtime and keep charging stations away from bedrooms to decrease distractions. Additional routine items may be taking a shower, reading a bedtime story, getting a drink or snack, and brushing teeth. Eat a healthy breakfast each morning. Eating a balanced breakfast is an integral part of every day. For kids, breakfast is necessary to provide energy for the brain and body. Proper nutrition can help prepare them for learning. If they're hungry, they're more likely to have difficulty focusing. Plan for school-related conflicts. School years allow students to learn how to navigate relationships outside of their family and prepare them for adulthood. That may sometimes mean working through a conflict or disagreement with a peer or teacher. Practice different strategies, such as taking deep breaths to cool down, asking questions and paraphrasing the other person's perspective, or brainstorming positive solutions that benefit everyone. Keep in mind that the goal of parenting is to raise independent adults. It's a natural response for parents to want to step in and solve the problem to protect their children from conflict. However, stepping in too often decreases kids' ability to develop the skills and confidence needed to be independent adults who self-advocate. Giving them tools to process and develop solutions on their own builds lifelong skills and helps you more easily identify when an issue is serious and requires parental involvement. Sometimes routines and plans aren't enough. If your child's fears or anxiety interfere with daily activities in school, it's time to talk with a mental health professional.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.